So anyway, I think that courage, as we were talking a little bit about this Wednesday, courage comes, I think, from family and friends and how you're raised, how you're developed. And I think for us this morning, I want us to read a verse. And I want to talk a little bit about family and read some quotes to you. Proverbs 24, verse 10 says, "If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small." Our strength is measured by our response to difficulty. Seems obvious. If you walk into a gym and you grab a 10-pound barbell and you can curl that, it's assumed you could curl a 5-pound barbell. Or if you can curl a 25-pound barbell, it's assumed you could curl a 15-pound barbell, right? There's two things that may cause you not to be able to curl that 15-pound barbell. If you could curl a 25-pound barbell, is exhaustion. You know, sometimes when you get that muscle exhausted, which you're supposed to do, you get that muscle exhausted, then you kind of go down 25, 20, 15, 10, and then you try to go back up. You've exhausted that muscle completely. But sometimes people faint in the day of adversity simply because there's been so much adversity that they're exhausted. And, you know, after a while, adversity is exhausting. How many agree with that? You get tired. It's easy to get tired today. This is why we need family and friends. Because without family and friends, you're going to just not make it. You're going to have great, great difficulty. Without the body of Christ, meaning family and friends, it becomes very, very hard. And everyone comes from different families, right? Menzel was talking a little bit about his parents today and the amazing revolution that took place when they became believers, closed the bar, moved away, stopped a lot of things. But there were some things that remained, but they were just a radical change, you know? My family was a little bit different. You know, I had an Italian father. How many of you had an Italian father? All right, so Joe, you might know. You have an Italian father? That's right. You have an Italian father. You know, I was working since I was 8 years old, you know? And, you know, one day I'm in a living room watching cartoons on a Saturday morning. My father walks in the room and says, "Hey, go start a business." You know, that's the kind of father I had. That's the kind of father I had. You know, and we as an Italian family, we never got what we didn't have a lot. We were middle income, low income. So, you know, we would ask for things, you know, but we were never given what we wanted, but we were told where everything we wanted was. You know what I mean? So we'd say one day we go in and we say, "Hey, Dad, can we get a puppy?" I said, "Two doors down, right down there, Mrs. Patterson has a puppy. You get the urge to pet a puppy, you go see Mrs. Patterson, you pet the puppy, you come back here, you cut the grass." That was my dad. But everyone's family's different, and all of our families foster different kinds of things. And courage is one thing that a family can really work to foster. I want to talk a little bit to you this morning about this word fainting, what it means to faint, because it'll give you a good light on how to not do it. Fainting, there are three Greek words for faint. The first word is ekluo, E-K-L-U-O, ekluo, and it means to loose or to release. This is very similar to what happens over time, and this is, the word ekluo kind of means something that loosens over time. Almost like stitches in a finger will dissolve over time. Sometimes they have to be pulled out. But sometimes they dissolve over time. That is, over time, strength can dissolve. Mark 8:3 is where you could find that, that word, how it's used. Mark 8:3. "If I send them away hungry to their houses, they will faint on their way." Meaning in time, they may be okay now, but eventually they're going to faint. They're going to get loose. You know, things are going to loosen. I watch this all the time with new believers or people come into a church. They come in, they're excited. they say, hey, this is really a great church. You preach the finished work here. Or you have a great family life here. Your church is like a family. We really like it here. And then in a matter of time, you watch that dissolve because it isn't. I'll tell you why it dissolves later. But you watch it and it dissolves. It like gets loose. So Mondays, Wednesdays, they call it class, Wednesday, Sunday. Then a few weeks later, it's class, Wednesday, Sunday. Then about a month later, it's Wednesday, Sunday. And then about 2 months later, it's some Wednesdays, maybe a Sunday. And then it's no Sundays, no Wednesdays. You call them, no return phone call. What happened? They fainted. They fainted. Hebrews 12, consider him who endured such hostility against sinners, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. Lest you become weary, lest you faint over time. Ekluo. One reason people faint over time is because they lose their focus. But that's not the only reason. That's one reason they faint. We're going to talk a little bit about another reason people faint shortly. Another Greek word for fainting is enkaku. Enkaku. I think that's how it was pronounced, but I could be totally wrong. Enkakew. Enkaku or enkakuo. I don't know which one it is. It really doesn't matter this morning. But this means lacking courage, losing heart, failing to fail to give out, or used in ancient language as the slacking of a bowstring. You've heard me talk about this before, right? How many bow hunters we have here? Okay. Katie Martin slayed a deer with a bow. Did you know that she got a deer with a bow? How long ago is that?
She got a deer with a gun, but not a
bow. I thought she got it with a bow.
She did shoot a bow, but never a deer.
Never got a deer. But got it with a gun is not bad, though. There's still, you could get it with. So you pull that. What happens when you pull that thing back and it just keeps going and going and going? And it's slack. Where's the arrow go, Tuck? Like that, right? Say it with me. That's what happens. And so there has to be a tension on that string, right? So a good amount of tension is fine. That's why our lives has some tension to them, right? It's okay to have a little bit of tension. Tension's all right. But it's when that, for some reason, that thing gets stretched out. And, I don't know what happens to bows, if that ever happens anymore because of the material they're made out of. But certainly, that's what was used back in the day to illustrate this word. Ephesians 3:13 is where this word is found. One place that's found, 3:13. Therefore I ask you, do not lose heart at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. Don't lose heart. Don't lose heart or lack courage. The losing of heart, this is when we begin to lack courage. 2 Corinthians 4:1. Since therefore we have received this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. 2 Corinthians 4:1. We do not lose heart. You face certain things, it's very easy to lose heart. I look at our nation today, and it's very easy to lose heart. But losing heart is much more serious than just getting a little discouraged. Losing heart means now I'm unable to pursue what I need to pursue because I've quit. I've lost heart. 2 Thessalonians 3:13. Says, but as for you, brethren, do not grow weary in doing good. That word grow weary is the word enkaku. Don't slack in your bow. Keep the tension up. You know, keep the intensity right. Keep the intensity, keeping the intensity strong. Courage is a very important component to living today. We need to have that. So true. Another word for fainting or wearying or weakening is kamno, K-A-M-N-O. And this is represented by work and the weariness that overcomes the body from work. Also can be from sickness. This is more of a physical weakness. But it also is found in Hebrews 12:3, the other part of that, lest you grow weary and lose heart. The word weary there is this word, kamno, lest you get exhausted and lose heart. You know, exhaustion comes from a lack of focus on Christ. Exhaustion can come from a lack of focus on Christ. Have you ever wondered, can physical exhaustion come from a lack of focus on Jesus Christ? Yes, it can. James chapter 5, verse 15 says, and the prayer of the sick will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And that's not the right verse. It's 5, I think. Live the unprecedented day of slaughter. Nope. Skip that one. And turn with me to Isaiah 40. Let's go back into OT for a minute. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. We have a source for our faint-heartedness. We have a solution for our weariness. And the weariness that can be the result of working without rest, a weariness that can come from over time losing focus, or a weariness that is coming from a lack of courage. Now, there's an interesting passage in Deuteronomy 20, and they're about to fight in a battle. And it says here in chapter 20, verse 8, the officers shall speak further to the people. This is Deuteronomy 20, verse 8. And say, whatever man is there who is fearful and faint-hearted, let him go and return to his house, lest the heart of his brethren faint like his heart. So here it is. Leaders going into battle. They say, whoever of you is fearful and faint-hearted, go home. Isn't that interesting? You're fearful, you're faint-hearted, go home. We'll say, well, that's a little harsh. Well, wait a second. These people have seen a tremendous number of miracles from God. They've heard a tremendous number of messages from the prophets. By now, they ought to have it, right? So he says, if you're fearful and faint-hearted, go home, because your faintness and fearfulness, your loosening, your weariness, your lack of courage is affecting people around you. And will affect people around you. That says that something very interesting. You can put a person who is not faint-hearted and very courageous and put him next to someone who is faint-hearted and fearful, and that faint-hearted, fearful person is very likely going to infect and affect that courageous person. Can I tell you, this is one of the things that kills marriages? When somebody lacks courage, when somebody lacks faith, and they kind of just stop having faith, this is tough. It can be very, very difficult. And it's hard to recover. You keep reading here, and it says, it shall be when the officers have finished speaking to the people that they shall make captains in the armies and lead people. When you go near a city to fight against it, then proclaim an offer of peace. And if it shall be that they accept your offer of peace and are open to you, then all the people who are found in it will be placed under tribute to you and serve you. Here's what it's saying. If you're going to have peace in the world, you have to have strong, courageous people going into battle. That's the natural illustration. Or that's what the Deuteronomy is saying, right? You can't be fearful, faint-hearted, tenderfoots, and expect to have people respect you and have people have a healthy fear of you. Now, from a natural perspective, this is what's happening in our nation. We have displayed horrible weakness, faint-heartedness, and so on. From a spiritual perspective, you and I face things in life. We must face them with strength and courage and not faint and give up, no matter what. Fearful people never find peace. Faint-hearted people never make peace. They can't. I was thinking about this. This is all about the promised land, right? This is a promised land. Was it promised? Yes. Hello?
Yes.
Who promised it? What else did God promise about the promised land? Okay, what else did he say about it, though? You're going to have to do what? You're going to have to fight. He promised the land, and he promised it was going to take a fight to possess it. Some Christians want to possess the promised land without a fight. You have to fight. You have to fight for your faith. You have to fight for your marriage. You have to fight for your kids. You have to fight sometimes and stand for what you believe. It takes a fight. Maturity takes a fight to win. And by the way, no real fight can be fought without some risk or pain. Life is not pain-free because it takes a fight. This world is fighting against us. We have to fight back with faith and love and strength and courage and believing God and a message and grace and mercy. Someone comes at you and attacks you and ridicules you or condemns you or worse yet, slanders you or libels you. You have to have courage and stand there with courage and face that person and face them, maybe face them every day and face them with mercy. You don't have to love it. You don't have to respect them, but you need to face them with mercy. Why? Because you'll get infected by it if you don't. We have to have a level of tension in our life, a grace tension that allows us to stand in the face of things when they come against us. Some of you have family members that have come against you. Some of you find tremendous opposition from right within your own family. I know what that's like. What does that take to win that? What does it take to stand in that? It takes courage. No fight has ever been fought without taking a few punches. Nothing's ever won without some risk. I'm going to read some quotes about courage here. Ben Franklin said, "How few there are who have the courage enough to own their faults or the resolution enough to mend them." It takes courage to face your faults. That's one place we need to have courage. Is facing our mistakes and our faults, right? And face them head on and say, yeah, this is my weakness, this is my area, this is my thing. I've done this and I own it. Here's a good one. I like this one. It's John Wayne. Courage is being scared to death and saddling up anyway. Knowing what's ahead, getting on that horse and riding right into a storm. You say, well, maybe that's not me. I'm afraid of the situation I'm facing. I don't know what's going to happen. Well, here's one. J.R. Tolkien. I think it's J.R.R. Tolkien. Wasn't it two R's? J.R.R. Tolkien. J.R.R. Tolkien said, courage is found in unlikely places. I think he was referring to The Hobbit, right? Courage was found in unlikely places. Some of you have never read. I tell you, sometimes I read these things like, you know, I've quoted some masters, and some of you are like, hey, yeah, yeah. Like I quote Bugs Bunny, I've quoted Elmer Fudd, masters, literary masters, and here's one of my favorites from one of my favorite athletes of all time. Muhammad Ali said, "He who is not courageous enough to take risks will accomplish nothing in life." Anything worthwhile is going to take some level of risk. Here's another one, Theodore Roosevelt. "It is only through labor," this is a good one, "it is only through labor and painful effort." Now, this is true of the spiritual life too, by the way. It is only through labor and painful effort and by grim energy and resolute courage that we move on to better things. And he's someone who certainly knew that. You remember this guy, Desmond Doss? Who knows who Desmond Doss was? The character in Hacksaw Ridge, right? He was the pacifist who was at that Battle of Okinawa, was it? Okinawa? One of the islands. And he was the guy who kept climbing up onto the ridge and dragging these guys off there and saved. They gave a Medal of Honor for saving 75 men's lives by pulling them out of the battle. They'd been wounded. He was the pacifist who wouldn't carry a weapon, so he became a medic. And he went up there as the medic and pulled them up. It's a great movie, by the way, if you want to see a movie. And the thing that was the most interesting about it is all these guys in the training process would throw shoes at him and mock him and say hateful things and ridicule him. And then he's the one who went up on that ridge and dragged him off of it. See, now that's courage. Not just going into the line of fire to save somebody, but to go into the line of fire and save somebody who hasn't treated you very well, right? So maybe your spouse doesn't treat you very well. Well, how about you get up on that ridge and save their life anyway? Menzo was talking about this morning, about serving. And I'll tell you, it takes courage to serve. I love this movie, The Revolution. How many of you saw it so far? Every believer should see that movie. I'm convinced. This is one of those movies you need to go see. There's one scene where staunch, I don't know if they were Baptists or what they were, but these people in this church said they didn't like these hippies coming in because they were getting the carpet dirty. Now, this is a church that had like 30 people in it before this happened. Now they got 100 people coming to the church and they're complaining about the carpet getting dirty. Right? Our carpet's getting dirty. We don't like these people. They get our carpets dirty. Isn't that pathetic? But anyway, so one service, they all show up. And what's Chuck Smith doing outside the building? He's got them in a line. He's washing their feet before they come into the building. True story. He washing their feet before they came into the building. See, that's a courageous solution. Not a reaction, but a courageous solution. See, courage. But anyway, Desmond Doss, the Hacksaw Ridge hero, said this. He said, what drove him to do what he did is, I can't sit here while all the other people are fighting for me. I can't just sit here while other people go into battle. Let me say that again. I can't just sit here while other people do the fighting. No real man will let another man fight on his behalf without doing something. No real man will let another man fight for him without doing something. You understand me? Boys, hear what I just said? You don't let other people do all your fighting for you. And Desmond Doss said, I can't just sit here while other people fight for me. And by the way, when he got his Medal of Honor, they said, we're giving this Medal of Honor, you saved 75 people, and Doss said this. He said, it was more like 50. See, humility, you know. It was probably more like 50, he said. They interviewed his son afterwards, after they did the movie, and they said, you know, what did your father think about the Medal of Honor that he got? And the son said, my father really just only wanted the glory to go to God. He really didn't want the medal. See, that's courage. It's selfless. It's not thinking about yourself or what you're going to get out of something. It's just facing things that need to be faced with maturity and courage. See, there's three reasons. There's more reasons than three. But I think there's a couple of key reasons why Christians faint and lose heart. 2 Timothy 2. 2 Timothy 2. And you can ask all your questions. You can ask questions in the wrap after church too. And thank you. If you don't get something, you should speak up. I'm okay with that. This is an interactive church, by the way. Oh boy. Second Timothy. My own watch has done that. Me sitting here, you've heard me say, I'm sorry, I didn't get that. Shut up. 2 Timothy 2, 4. No one engaged in a fight or warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this world. Now, think about a man having a net thrown over him. You've seen that in movies and things, right? And it's totally entangled up and can't move forward. The actual word here means entwined. And really what this is saying is nobody engaged in warfare starts a side business. It's too distracting. And that's kind of what this means. Intertwined with worldliness. And some believers get intertwined with worldliness. Now, you know how that happens most commonly? Relationships with worldly people. Friendships must be carefully managed. When you are entwined with someone who is not of the faith and who is not strong in the faith. By the way, I haven't heard much of it in a few years, which I'm very proud of you. If you're dating a guy or you're dating a girl and they don't have strong faith, break it off. This is very simple. Let me just say, ditch them. Help them find discipleship, but do not carry on in a relationship with someone who is not equally yoked. And that does not mean, well, he's a believer. I hear that all. I've heard that so many times over the course of the year. And you walk up and say, who's this guy you're dating? I see him on Facebook or somebody told me that you're dating this guy. And this girl's a disciple. She loves the Lord. She's reading her Bible. She's growing. She prays. Who's this guy? Well, he's very nice. Okay, that's great. Is he a believer? I think so. Ah! I just want to say that just like that. Ah! Right to their face. I want you to, girls, remember this face, all right? Remember this face right here. You come to me and you say, I'm dating a guy, and I say they're believing. You say, well, you're not sure? Just remember this face. Ah! Is that burned in your face? You got that picture? Ah! Sorry about that sound, guys. Boys, same thing. You get around a girl and you like her and you start doing some things together. You go here, you go there. And she doesn't have strong faith. I want you to remember this face. Here it is, right here. Ah! That's what I want you to remember. That's the image I want you to have. Yeah. And I hope you're scarred by that. I really do. Because you're unequally yoked. It doesn't just mean that they have to be a believer. And one woman said to me one time, she said, I'll never forget this. Well, I think he's a believer. I think he believes in God. And I said, you know, I know another individual who believes in God, Satan. And she said, well, he's not Satan. I said, he might as well be if you're dating him. Hello?
Hello?
Just remember that. I didn't want to scream. It was a silent scream. I get my blood pressure goes up just thinking about you, these people dating the wrong people. So, it's okay? Yeah. Well, anyway. Well, he doesn't. Does he go to church anywhere? Well, no. What are you doing? Where do you think that's going to go? Where do you possibly, listen to me, where do you possibly think that person is going to lead you? I can hear the toilet flushing now. Yep. Don't do it. Be patient. God has somebody for you. Well, where are they? I've been waiting. You may not be ready for that person. Maybe God is saving that person from you. Here's a possibility. You may be the problem. Why don't you ask God, Lord, am I ready to have somebody in my life? And let him take, how about you take a little inventory? Are you disciplined? Here's the inventory. Do you have some self-discipline in terms of your spiritual walk? Are you submitted to authority? Are you faithful to your church? You hearing messages? How's your budget? Are you ready for somebody in your life? Huh? That's a question you ought to ask. Am I ready? And then you ask yourself, if you're already with somebody, should I be with this person? And if God has already told you through various means that you shouldn't be with this person and you still are, shame on you. Get rid of them. You don't have to be unkind about it. You just say, that's it. You're intertwined with the wrong person. They may be the nicest guy or nicest lady on the planet. They could be handsome or beautiful beyond belief. Doesn't matter. Okay. Have we heard enough of that? Mm-hmm. Do you want to hear some more? Raise your hand if you want me to go on with that. Okay, five people want me to continue. All right. Don't get entangled. That's one of the reasons people fail. That's one of the reasons people faint. They get entangled with the wrong people. Sometimes you have friends at work. Next thing you know, you're hanging out, doing wasteful things. All right. Here's the next thing that causes people to faint. 1 Corinthians 9. Verse 24, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you might receive it. Here's a really good indication that a Christian is not serious about his walk with God. You know where you can look? Where they work. And you can ask this simple question. Is the type of work you put out prize-winning work? Or are you one of those people who says, that's good enough? Because if you're one of those that's good enough people, that's your whole life is like that. That's not one section, one area, or not. Prize-winning work. Prize-winning. You want people to comment on your workmanship. You want people, you want to do the kind of workmanship, no matter what it is, that people look at your workmanship and say, they are different. They're working to win a prize. That's prize-winning work. I do something very simple at work in my business. All my applications, when I send an application to a company, when I have to get a quote from not the online stuff, but those I do it online, I do it, I get it, usually the PDF fillable forms, and I fill the forms out completely, and I answer all the questions on the forms. You say, well, that's simple. What's the big deal, Pastor? You know what the underwriters have told me? There are agents that send stuff in and half the information isn't even filled out, and they want them to guess what they want. So one of them called me and said, I got 50 agents. You're my newest agent. Says, you have the best application packages, and when you send the bind orders into them, the most easy to understand. That's what I want. Why? Not just for business. I want that because I want that to be what I am, not what I do. You know, well, I did that because I'm trying to do it. I want that to be part of my character. You understand what I mean by that? In other words, what kind of work do you put out? Paul says here, run in such a way that you want to be the single winner of that race. You want to cross that line before anybody else crosses that line. So what are you going to do? You're going to train to do that. So then he says in verse 25, everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in what? All things. All things. Workplace. Budget, diet, rest, family life, cleanliness, hygiene, all of it. You know what a Christian is who puts their life in silos? This is spiritual, this is not. You know what a Christian is? They're hypocritical. There's a duality, in their life that's hard to. It's hard to discern where they're at, because they're living this dualistic life. To be temperate in all things. Now I'll say this: when you make a decision that you're going to be temperate in all things, let's say you're sitting here today and you say, I don't have a written budget. I'm dating the wrong person. Blah, 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 blah. You go through all this stuff. And you make a decision that you're going to get temperate and all things. I'm going to guarantee you're going to get more opposition than you've ever had in your life. The devil is going to come on you like white on rice. Yep. You will be opposed with every lie, with every excuse, with every reason why you can't do it. You know what it takes to get through that? It begins with say. See. Begins with see. Say it. Courage. That's where courage comes in. I'm fighting this fight and I'm not going to quit. Courage. I'm fighting this fight and I refuse to quit. Now for Lori's benefit, yes, I'm going to recite it again. What makes a king out of a slave? What makes a flag on the mast to wave? What makes the elephant charge his tusk in the mighty mist or the musky musk? What makes the muskrat guard his musk? What makes the Sphinx the seventh wonder? What makes the dawn rise up like thunder? What makes the Hottentot so hot? What puts the ape in apricot? What do they got that I ain't got? It takes courage, right? Hey, listen. Face your changes with courage. Make your changes with courage. Own your faults with courage. Look forward to what needs to be done this week with courage. Face the changes and adjustments you need to make with courage. Amen? Don't lose heart. God is for you. Who can be against you? Courage. Lord, thank you for this time today. We pray you bless us as we leave from here with our shoulders back, our heads held high. We have failures we may need to face. We have relationships we may need to change or end. We have adjustments that need to be made to budgets. We have work ethic that needs to be improved. We have service in the church that needs to be enhanced. We have all kinds of things that we need to do, and we are not going to be overwhelmed. We're not going to be overcome. We're not going to be opposed. We're not going to give up. We're not going to stop. We're not going to quit. We're going to have courage. And we're going to go forward the way you want us to go forward and win the day and seize the day. In Jesus Christ's name, we're going to do it. Amen.